Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons and Dragons podcast for kids. In Tavern Tales Junior, we'll take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids, so let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the street.
All right, friends, welcome to Tavern Tales Junior.
Hello, welcome to Tavern Tales Junior. This is a world podcast for kids and adults, and we are playing Dungeons and Dragons. Hi, and my name is Will, and I'm playing the role of Flash. Flash is a lovely good person. And Flash is an old man that went so far in the dead. And can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Sad story.
Okay. Actually, let's do that now as well. So today, when you introduce your character, I gave you all a challenge at the end of last game that you would need to give me a sad story or something that was sad that happened to your character.
Something that's sad to happen to my character, but Flash's mom died.
What happened?
She fell off a boat.
Is that the entirety of the sad story, or is there more to it than that?
There is. The sad story is, but the good part is, but everybody who's died and transported to comes back from the dead.
How did she come back from the dead?
As a ghost.
So Flash's mom is a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And she visits him from time to time?
Yes. But only Flash can see her. She visited her only one night and only one day.
One night and one day a year. Is that his birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good to know. How about we introduce the next player at the table?
But it's a special Tavern Tales because it's my birthday.
Yes, you are a wonderful 6 years old now. So who is the next player at the table?
Hello, my name is Alex. I play the role of Christopher, a dark elf thief who wields a weapon called Sort Sword, which is a short sword that sorts the living from the dead.
Yes, it does. And you also had a sad story that you were going to share with the game.
My sad story is that when Christopher was younger, like about 9 or 10, he took his gem kit out and he found a rare type of gem in the wall called a Zia gem. And Zia gems, like, they're glowing with blue and yellow stripes. And he got this Zia gem out of the wall, and it was his favorite gem. So he kept it in his room, and one night it just went missing, and he had no idea what happened to it.
Interesting. That is a very good sad story. Thank you for sharing that. Who is our next player at the table?
Hello, my name is Savannah. I play the role of DJ Ashardalong, a purple dragonborn, which is lawfully good and a folk hero.
What type of class is she?
Fighter.
So what's your sad story, DJ?
When DJ's mom and stepdad Ashardalong got married, Ashardalong used to take DJ to his mansion and try to make her evil. For years he tried, and then one day he threatened to lock her up and let her see no one ever again.
What happened then?
DJ still wasn't being evil, and he locked her up.
Oh my goodness, how did she get free?
One day her mom realized that DJ was gone for a while, and she went to the mansion and saw that DJ was locked up and set her free.
Did DJ's mom always know that Ashardalon was a dragon, or was he pretending to be a dragonborn or a human?
She knew he was a dragon.
And yet she still fell in love with an evil, ancient red dragon? Your mom sounds like a very complicated figure.
Asharlon acted like he wasn't evil, and he tricked her, and that's why.
Good to know. Is there anything else to the story, or is that the whole of the sad story?
That's basically it.
Okay, who's next at the table?
Hi, I'm Robin. I play Sasha Kikian, a wizard tabaxi, who is lawfully good. And my sad story says, Sasha is sad. The end. Okay, fine. I did actually write a lot.
So there is actually a sheet of paper that says, Sasha is sad, the end. And on the other side is a whole sheet of paper. Are you going to read the story to us, or are you going to summarize it?
I will read it, because I want to. It is titled, Sasha's Sad Story. Like most other Mifwa, she was born in a Mekolilian, which means family. She has 21 sisters and 36 brothers. Unfortunately, at the time she was 4, her and many other Mekolilians were split. You may think it's impossible to split a family, right? Well, Mekolilians work quite a bit differently. Because they are part cat and part human, they have what is called a little major and a little minor. They are the leaders of tribes. Anyway, they were split when the little major died, meaning their tribe's homes and territory were free for the taking. So many families' homes were ransacked and robbed, along with many people. All of Sasha's family was taken, leaving her little minor and 2 other children. The little minor unfortunately left one day and never came back. So the children were taken to an orphanage in the hopes they would be adopted. During the days Sasha spent at the orphanage, they were filled with depression and sadness until a strange masked man asked to adopt her. So the orphanage said, fine, take her. The man's name was Mikier. He was also a Mifwa, who Sasha would later find out to be the little miner who saved her in the village, although it didn't look like him because one of his ears was severed off. In fact, he was the one who showed Sasha she could do magic.
So the sad, really sad part of that story is that all of her brothers and sisters have been scattered and taken by other families?
Also, the orphanage was not a good place.
That is indeed a very sad story. All of you have led pretty sad lives, except for Chris, who just lost a rock. But it's all in the telling of the tale. I'm Kyle. I'm the Dungeon Master for these 4 very creative and very inspiring young people. So let's begin our tale, which is not a sad tale. It is a tale of adventure, bravery, and what else, Alex?
Friendship.
Excellent. And what else?
Building.
Building. I like that. That's a good comment. Yes.
Adventure.
Yeah, we are an egg venture or an adventure?
Adventure.
Dang, I was really hoping for an egg venture. And?
Golden Torx.
Golden Torx. So now what we're going to do is we're going to sink down from this basement studio recording place from our bodies, and we're going to float down into the world of the imagination, specifically the world of Faerun, where a Mifwa cat person walks alone down a road, his satchel heavy and full on his back. He has a long staff in his right hand, and it is twisted and bent at the top. He is making his way to the city of Waterdeep, and below that, we encounter the ground, the earth, until it opens up into the Underdark, a place where light fears to tread, where good and righteous people do not typically go, for it is full of dark dangers beneath the surface. We travel along a stream, an underground stream, until it opens up into the city of Menzoberranzan, the drow undercity in the Underdark. Inside the city itself is the Gouldwick Manor, the 9th most powerful family in all of Menzoberranzan, and the family seems to be out at some sort of event today, for it is the middle of the day, and inside the Gouldwick Manor, we find in the bedroom of the lord and lady of the house, our noble adventurers. The 6 of them have penetrated deep into the Underdark on a specific mission for who? Who is this mission for?
Chris's mom.
Chris's mom has commanded that all of you sneak into the Gouldwicks and do what?
Steal back the golden torque of the Tuffers that the Gouldwicks stole?
Yes, it's golden torque. What is it also known as? It is called the golden...
Shroud.
Yes,
shroud
the of... golden shroud.
And last time, the middle piece was not right.
That's correct. It was... So you snuck into the Lord and Lady's but bedroom. And upon a dressing table, you found the golden torque. But something wasn't right.
But I saw something really weird. All the parts were tinier.
The entire table with the golden torque on it turned into its original form, which was a... I don't remember what they're called.
Does anybody remember what the creature was called?
You didn't even say.
Yeah, he said it, and then it turned into a...
It was called a mimic. You don't know exactly what that means, but it has transformed from the dressing table into this amorphous blob-like creature with arms that stretch out like jelly ropes towards
you. How are you going to kill it?
And at the beginning of this adventure, everyone needs to roll for initiative.
Wait, I'm going to roll for my how much things I get back.
What things are you getting back?
How much gems I get back.
Why do I always get sixes? Is there even a seven on there?
Pick up the big one and roll it, buddy.
Which big one? This one?
That's the one, yeah, for initiative.
Nine.
It's a six, bud. The other way around. Yeah, the line is on the bottom.
I'm going to roll again. Two.
Okay, two it is. What's your dexterity modifier, buddy? Can you take a look on your sheet and tell me what that is? Christopher, what did you get?
I got 23.
DJ.
16.
Sasha.
23.
Wow. Chris and Sasha, despite being shocked, despite being surprised by this mimic that explodes before you, it transforms and it lashes out with its surprise action at Georgington. It catches him in the shield, and he recoils back towards the bed, the large king-sized bed in this manor's main principal room. Sasha and Chris, it is your turn. What would each of you like to do? Who would like to go first?
I'll let Christopher go first.
I will try to hit it with Sword Sword.
Excellent. Lash forward with Sword Sword, striking away. Roll your d20.
16.
Excellent. That is enough to hit this mimic. Do your damage. And because you are standing next to Sasha and she is also attacking it, you also get to roll your sneak attack damage.
19 damage.
Okay, that's a lot of damage. Can you describe what Chris does as he leaps forward to attack the mimic?
He leaps forward doing a vicious downstrike on its head.
Excellent. There is no head. So he strikes where a head would normally be, and he digs deep into the gelatinous, amorphous blob that is the mimic.
Wait, does it have any eyes?
Sasha, what would you like to do?
I'm going to cast Chromatic Orb. It's a level 1 spell.
Perfect. Roll your to hit.
Oh, can I say the type?
Absolutely.
I'm going to go with...
Water. Lightning.
Excellent. Roll it up.
I call upon Zeus, the god of lightning!
That's a 16.
That is a hit. Your lightning lashes out from your diamond that you used as a focus for casting Chromatic Orb. It lashes deep into the mimic, and the lightning breaks into a million little pieces and tendrils as it shoots through the almost see-through contours and shapes of the mimic itself. Roll your damage. In the meantime, we will move on, and you can give me your damage in a moment, to DJ's turn. DJ, take your turn. What would you like to do, DJ?
I'm going to use my greatsword.
Your magical greatsword, you're going to bring it in as a stab, or are you going to slash at it? What are you going to do?
Slash at it.
And what did you roll?
20.
Excellent. Good job. You have definitely hit with your greatsword. You stab it brutally into one of its oozing parts. Roll your damage. Meanwhile, our lovely...
15.
Yes. Damage. What have you rolled?
2 sixes.
Oh my goodness. So 2 sixes plus 5 is?
17.
You have brutally stabbed the mimic. If the mimic made any noise, it would cry out in pain from these horrendous attacks from the three of you. However, it is the mimic's turn.
Please don't turn into something weird and mean.
It disengages from combat. It slides and moves and oozes so that it does not receive any attacks from anyone, trying to get out of the way. It is now Flash's turn.
I'm gonna, like, cast Shocking Grasp 2 times.
You're gonna cast Shocking Grasp through the sword. Sure, go ahead. Cast Shocking Grasp through the sword. Maybe you're standing by the door and you can't get to him in time. So you cast Shocking Grasp through the sword, shoot it out as a bolt, roll your d20 to hit. You have hit brutally and effectively. Roll your damage for Shocking Grasp. Do you remember what that is for Shocking Grasp's damage?
8 3.
What is 8 plus 3? Add it up, please.
11.
The mimic cries out. It limps horribly, feebly. And it is now the end of the round. And at the end of the round, the entire room is plunged into darkness. You cannot see even your own hand. Some of you have dark vision. Some of you can see in the dark. Our cat person, our drow, can see in the dark. But you can't see anything. There is no light. It is as though a magical darkness has fallen over the room. It is not a very long darkness, but you spend the next round trying to see.
The next thing we come across, can I detect magic on?
Yes.
Because I do have the spell.
The room is plunged into darkness. It is the top of the round. It is Sasha's turn.
I'm probably going to look around for some substance to cast to detect magic on, because now I am,
You're blind. You cannot see anything at all. You're standing next to Christopher, you thought. The mimic was backing away from you. DJ was on your other side. Flash was standing by the door. Georgington was near the bed. And Flamma, if he is here, was by the door to the manor. What do you do, Sasha?
Everyone, we need to get out of here. We don't know where we are. First of all, Christopher, it's weird. We have dark vision, correct? We can't see anything.
Well, I could cast something to make us see anything.
Yeah, you have the light cantrip. Is that something that Flash can do?
Or another thing, I'm pretty sure he said that he has, like, the light stone in his bag called the Goblin's Past. Am I right?
Let's use the Goblin's Past.
You could use that.
The light of the Goblin's Past, yes?
I think I can see stuff.
You call out to have him pull it out on his turn. What do you do with your turn, Chris?
I'm gonna try to be ready in case I get attacked from, like, behind or something.
Very good action. He readies against an attack. And DJ, what do you do with your turn?
I do the same as Chris, because since we can't see, we don't know if anyone's gonna attack us or not.
You ready yourself in a defensive position, turning to make sure that no one attacks you. It is now Flash's turn. And on his turn, he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out the light of the Goblin's Past. There is no light. You know you've pulled out the stone of the light of the Goblin's Past. You hold it aloft, but there is no light. Nothing comes from it. There's naught but darkness. And at the end of the round, after you all hear the scrabbling and shufflings of the mimic and yourselves, it is another new round, and once again, the entire room, the lights come back on, and you can see the light of the Goblin Past is shining brightly in Flash's fist. But you look around, and there is no mimic. There is no amorphous, blobby creature to attack, except a faint, oozy, kind of clear-like substance that could be the blood of the creature, where you struck it brutally 2 rounds, 12 seconds ago. Perception checks from everyone.
I feel like it's hiding somewhere in the shape of something else.
Same. Well, maybe it is.
Because we know that that's what it does.
19.
14.
Give me the total number, including your bonus. So you have to add the two numbers together. Flash, what is your perception skill, and what did you roll on the die? You rolled a 19 on the die. Yes, thank you for showing me that. And what is your perception skill? That sounds about right. So you got to add up 19 plus 4. While you're doing that, I'll move on. DJ, what did you get for perception?
9.
What did you get, Chris?
7.
What did you get, Sasha?
14.
Flash?
23.
Great total. You notice something that no one else has noticed. You notice that the bed cover, the nice, soft comforter that is on top of the king-sized bed looks maybe a little different than it looked before.
I'm going to tell them.
It looks like the stripey pattern is going one way when it used to go a different way.
Guys, since there's nothing different, let's just leave.
No, I see something different on the blanket.
Wait,
the blanket.
Wait, don't. Before you say anything, I'm going to cast Detect Magic on this blanket because you just said something's weird about the blanket, to assure you, okay?
What do the rest of you do? The round is ticking down. Sasha's going to cast Detect Magic. Flash has noticed that this bed comforter looks different than it normally does.
Well, I mean, I didn't notice anything different, but I might be seeing wrong, so I think Flash is a pretty good bet. He doesn't usually fail us with seeing stuff like that.
That's true. So what are you going to do, Chris?
I'm gonna ready myself for, like, the blanket to out of nowhere spring up and attack me.
Yeah? Okay, and what are you gonna do, DJ?
Yeah, I'm just gonna do the same.
You're just gonna ready yourself just in case the bed comforter springs up. And Flash, what do you do? You have seen that the comforter is different. What do you do, Flash?
I feel like I have a giant hammer in here somewhere. Yes, there it is.
Okay, what is the giant hammer for?
I think if I smash the blanket, it might work.
You can always cut the blanket with your sword as well. You don't need to create more tools and more things in your magical backpack. You already have your Shock and Grasp sword out. So what do you do with it?
I slice the blanket.
Roll your attack.
14.
It's definitely a hit. You've managed to strike the blanket. Roll your damage. Are you expending a Shock and Grasp as well, or are you just using your sword?
Just using my sword.
Okay, perfect.
3 plus 3.
3 plus 3 is 6. Meanwhile, Sasha was casting Detect Magic on the comforter. Detect Magic is great because it's a concentration spell and you can detect all of the other magical things in the room at the same time.
So what I do is I go, Mecolilians, join together of the Afrokarishan and unite in Cat Force Centric.
Your eyes glow with an unholy light as magic detection comes upon you. You can see the ebbs and the flows of magical energies. As you look around the room, you are nearly blinded with all of them. There is a lamp on the bed that glows with magic, and there is a strange box on one of the other nightstands that also glows with a magical energy. But the bed itself does not glow with magical energy.
The box, the lantern, unholy centric.
What does that mean?
Tabaxi language.
Right. And what are you saying?
The bed, the lantern, everybody check.
You meant the box, the lantern, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When Sasha calls out about the box and the lantern on the bed, this is the time when Flash strikes the comforter and he hits it and it turns into the mimic and it screams in its almost unearthly kind of wail that you can't really see or hear because it doesn't have a mouth, so it must be some sort of psychic cry. And the lights go out again at the end of another round.
So guys, I guess what we're gonna have to do is let's just hope that somebody sees something different every single round and everybody just hit that thing with a weapon.
I think we should leave. I hope the door isn't different.
Oh, that would be annoying. You try to leave. Smack.
I don't think we should leave. We haven't found the golden shroud yet.
I could still be in this room. Leave the room.
And besides, this mimic, what if it just follows us and keeps changing into different things?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be annoying? Because then it could sneak attack us when we're not expecting it.
And
we should get rid of it now.
The lights come up at the end of Chris's speech. The comforter's back to the way it was before. But something else is possibly different about the room. Everyone needs to roll a 20-sided die.
19.
Well, tell me what your total perception score is, please.
That's a 23 then.
7.
6.
19.
The only person to notice anything different this time is Sasha. Perhaps it's because she can detect magic and sees things differently than she did before. What is it that you think might be different about the room this time, Sasha?
Is there a chair in the corner?
There is a chair in the corner.
One of the legs on the chair in the corner is broken. Surprisingly, strangely broken.
Actually,
it's not falling, kinda?
What's surprising is there wasn't a chair there before.
Yeah.
But it looks like it fits. It's a nice looking, good chair that you would sit and watch a TV show or curl up and read a good book in. It's got this nice upholstery to it. Does it have flowers or birds, Robin?
On the back, there is a beautiful tapestry blanket with beautiful and a special flower called Lily of the Valley.
More Lily of the Valley, okay.
What? I name everything.
It's got flowers all over it in a nice upholstered fashion. It is different than it was before. What do you say, Sasha?
Chair, flash, rip it. Psh. I feel like we all run, as soon as I say chair, everybody runs. Psh.
Psh, psh. Sasha commands Flash to leap forward and attack the chair. What does DJ do in that time?
I slowly walk forward, ready to back up Flash.
And what does Chris do?
I jump at the chair with my sword in the air.
I leap at the chair with your sword in the air. Are you all going to attack the chair?
I'm going to attack the chair.
I'm gonna stand by for backup.
You're not going to attack the chair?
No.
Why not?
In case it ends up not being the mimic.
That's fair. Sasha, what are you going
to
do?
I look around to see if anything else is different.
Nothing else is different that you can detect. However, you still see the two magical artifacts in the room, the box and the lantern. Flash, with your companions all around you, with Chris leaping forward to attack the chair and DJ backing you up with her great sword raised high, you step forward to slice the chair in two. Roll your attack. What is your total? I think it's a 19 to hit, maybe more. You brutally stab into the mimic. The chair cries out as it transforms back from being a chair into this blob creature. Chris strikes brutally with sword. You don't even need to roll. DJ, you can attack if you wish to as well. You do. And the mimic dissolves into a pile of goo and does not move again. But at the end of the round, all of the lights go out again, and you are plunged once more into darkness. But, Sasha, because you have detect magic up, you can see the lantern and the box glow. They are the only things that you can see in this preternatural darkness.
Lantern. Lantern. Box. Unnatural. Everybody, the box and the lantern, I can see them.
Okay, but we can't.
Exactly, we can't see.
What do you want us to do?
I'm just telling you this because it's kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, it's kind of freaking me out that the lights keep going out. You get what I mean? It's creepy.
Whenever we attack the mimic, the lights go out.
Well, it looks pretty dead. It looked pretty dead in the light to me.
I want to leave this room so bad.
Guys, I hear someone chewing gum.
Georgington says, I'm sorry, that was me. I'm by the door, though. You could come and follow the sound of my chewing gum.
Sure, why not? Let's get out of this creepy place because I don't want the lights to go off again.
But what about the golden shroud?
Well, we know it's not in here.
Yeah.
Wait, what about the box and the lamp? You said that you were seeing a magic presence in them? Maybe.
Yeah, they're literally glowing. It's like, you know the sunset ripping across the sky, just ripping across the darkness. It's strange.
Oh, well, why don't we wait till the lights come on again, if they ever do, and then we can go investigate this box and this lamp in case maybe they like, I don't know, maybe they like somehow jammed the golden shroud inside the lamp or the box or something.
So none of you proceed to leave the room. You're all having a quick debate. At the end of the 6 seconds, though, at the end of the round, the lights come back on.
Okay, guys, quickly investigate the box and the lamp before the lights go out again, because we will not be able to see anything after that happens.
I will.
I'm gonna run over to the lamp and start looking at it for clues on anything.
I run over to the box.
I see something like glowing behind. Is there a bookshelf?
Yes.
I see something glowing behind the bookshelf, guys.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a brief moment. You rush over to the box. There does not seem to be any writing on it or any reason why it would seem to glow with magical energies. The box itself is just a nice, simple wooden box with a hinge that opens up the top. There is a lock, however, that keeps the box closed. There is no key immediately discernible. The lamp is just a normal looking lamp for all that you can see. It does look like you can, there, it holds some oil, and you would turn a knob and the oil would come up the wick, and you can then light the oil on the wick. Does not seem to be anything additionally magical about it, but do you pick it up or hold it in any way?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick up the lamp and try to examine it from all sides, maybe like look at the bottom where I couldn't see before.
You can see there are some magical runes written on the bottom of the lamp, but you don't know the language. You cannot read them.
Sasha, come over here. Can you read this thing?
Oh, dearie.
So you ask Sasha to come over. What are you doing with the box, Sasha?
I guess I'll just leave it there.
It does look big enough to possibly hold the golden shroud.
That box over there probably holds the golden shroud. Anyway, the unfortunate thing is I can speak, read, write multiple languages when I cast tongues, but I only have 2 spell slots for tongues and fly, so do you want me to? Because I can.
It might be something pretty important. You get what I mean? Like, maybe it's like an ancient language where...
I'm not going to say it, because usual things like this happen. I cast tongues, and I speak the rune, and...
While this conversation is happening, Flash has gone over to investigate the bookshelf. He sees a glowing around the edges of the bookshelf. DJ, what are you doing during all of this?
Trying to figure out why, after the round of us hitting the mimic, the lights go out.
How are you trying to do that?
I'm thinking about why the lights go out whenever it gets hurt.
Well, if it's an emergency and it's also very important, I shall cast tongues.
Do you swap items then? Do you give the box to Chris and Chris gives the lantern to Sasha?
Yeah.
While that's happening, Flash, you can't seem to figure out how to move the bookshelf to get by the glow that is around on
then
the
I'm
inside.
Then I'm gonna use my sword then.
Pull out your sword. DJ notices you moving to attack the bookshelf. DJ, do you go over to talk to Flash to see what's going on?
Yes. Flash, why are you going to attack this bookshelf?
Because there's something glowing behind it, and I don't know which way how to get it.
Why don't you just grab the books and take them out? Maybe it's behind the books.
Okay.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't seem to be behind the books, because the bookshelf is a solid unit, but it's really big. It's about 12 feet tall and 6 feet wide, and Flash doesn't seem to be able to move the bookshelf or slide the bookshelf at all on his own.
I'm gonna use my chainsaw.
I don't think you've got one of those.
Maybe
but
DJ
before
can
you
help.
Before you pull out your chainsaw, Robin's suggestion is really good. You could just ask DJ to help you push the bookshelf aside.
Okay, DJ, help me push the bookshelf aside, but do not push on the back.
Okay.
So you both get to one side and you try to push it and it won't budge at all. So you try to push from the other side and it budges a little itty bitty bit, but it seems to be caught up on something.
Maybe we could ask Georgington. He is also super strong.
Georgington comes over and says, "It looks as though there's a mechanism that stops this bookshelf from sliding. We would need to hopefully slide a book or push a book in order to release the lever. Shall we do that?"
I love that thing. Before I cast tongues, I notice a strange, out-of-place book.
You're kind of caught up with that.
Fine.
And that's fair at the moment. Yeah, you're casting tongues. Meanwhile, Flash and DJ start pulling and pushing on books, and you see the title of a very strange book for a drow bookshelf. What is the first part of the title, Flash?
Tougher family.
Tougher family. And what is the last part of the book?
Betrayal.
That wasn't the first thing you thought of, though. What was the first thing you thought of? What was the silly idea that you're like, no, that's not good enough?
It really was that I just was thinking of ways to say it.
Oh, okay, perfect. Because a couple that I had in my head was tougher family history, tougher family photo album.
Tougher family honeycomb.
No.
That one would be a little weird.
I have a good one.
All right, what was the one you came up with?
Tougher family book.
They stole it too. That's very
true.
And
tougher family baby photos.
Perfect. Yeah. So we were on the, you and I were on the same line with the photo album. I like that one too. Tougher family betrayal is the book, but it won't come out of the shelf. In fact, you have to push the book in, and it pushes in, and there is a click as it moves about half the distance into the bookshelf, and then suddenly the bookshelf slides over with but a touch, revealing another room, revealing the secret room that Chris never was able to get into. There is a secret entrance from this bedroom into the locked and secret room.
It's the locked room. Da, da, da. It's the locked room that I talked about.
Yes, the secret special locked room. Meanwhile, Sasha is looking at the lantern, and as you turn it over, you can see that the words are written in the arcane language. Give me an arcana check before you cast tongues.
22.
That is a great roll. Your knowledge tells you that this lamp and lantern is magical and is a magical device that when you light the lamp, it will detect magic for you. The light that it casts will cause magical items to glow.
I want to take it so bad.
There also happens to be a book on the bedside table that catches your eye that was sitting next to the lantern. But when you initially open the book, there is nothing in it. It's empty. There are no words. It is a blank book.
I know exactly.
Meanwhile, Chris is investigating this magical, supposedly, box.
Let's switch, Tread.
What would you like to do with your box, Chris?
I'm gonna cut the box open because it has a lock on it.
But Chris, aren't you a thief?
Picklock it.
Oh yeah, I'll picklock the box.
You pull out your picklocking tools. You put on your picklocking face, which is all scrunched up with your mouth open and one eye kind of squinty. Exactly. Just like that. And you fiddle around with the box. And because I like that face so much, you may have advantage on your lock picking check. Roll 2d20 and tell me what the higher is, including your picklock's ability, which in this instance is dexterity plus your proficiency bonus.
I just wanted to say, while he's lock picking, I mumble to myself, invisible ink of the Tabaxi tribe Storians.
It's possible that that is the case. We'll get to that in a second. What have you rolled on your picklocks? The higher one plus your proficiency bonus of 3 plus your dexterity bonus totals out for you to be a
21.
21 is barely sufficient to pick the lock. You pick the lock and the lid of the box opens with a touch. And inside this box is a clicker. It is black and has a button. And if the button is pressed, it clicks.
Oh, that for a clicker. Hey, Sasha, can you look at this thing and tell me if it's a magical clicker or if it's not a magical clicker?
Okay.
At this point, detect magic has ended. It has been longer than a minute.
Let's use the lamp to see if this thing is truly a magical.
Okay, it's lamp time.
You light the lamp, and the light of the lamp bursts into existence. And yes, it is the clicker itself that is magical. Though the box is magical as well, it seems to protect people from divining what is inside the box. But the clicker is also magical. When the lamp is turned on, words appear in the book?
I knew it. Only special certain lamps can confide the words with the ink. It's ingenious.
This seems to be the personal journal and magical spell book belonging to the lady of the Gouldwick family.
I'm not going inside the secret room now.
Yes, you and DJ Georgington, everyone proceeds forward in towards the secret room. The lights, however, as you're walking through, go out again.
So I'm going to say that I took the clicker.
Yep, you've got the clicker in your hand.
Maybe this clicker can do something about the lights.
Sure. What do you think it does?
So I'm going to click the button to see what happens.
Click the buttons and all the lights come back on.
We got a solution. Anyway, I want to take the lamp and also take the book.
I think I know what might have been happening, how that kept happening. Because you know how the mimic couldn't talk? Maybe it has some kind of psychic ability, so it was psychically pressing the button every time we heard it. And then after the turn, it was just pressing it again after it had transformed.
It's possible.
Because we don't know its abilities or anything. The first time I've seen one of those.
I agree. Can I take the lamp and the book?
Absolutely. Do you take the box too, or do you just take the clicker?
I'm going to take the box and the clicker.
Excellent. Please write those down on your character sheets.
And I also see a little tiny jar, but I can, like, scoop. I see a jar, but I can scoop up the blood of the guy. And I'm going to scoop up the blood of the guy and put it in the jar. Psh.
There we go. And also, lamp.
You proceed into the secret, special room of the Gouldwick family.
Daddy? These are my first items ever. I'm so happy. No, these are my first side items that I've ever received in this game so far.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Can you say blood of the mimic inside a jar on my character sheet?
Yes, you may. You may take a whole vial of it. You pull out into your magical backpack a glass that has a cork stopper on the top of it, and you scoop a whole bunch of the gross, almost clear blood of the mimic into that, and I'll mark that on your character sheet for you.
Because I've seen this blood before. It's magical. This blood is magical.
I think I know what it might be used for. You know the mimic changing forms? Maybe that has something to do with its blood. Maybe if we, like, drank its blood or something, we'd have the ability to change into different things for a short amount of time.
There is a recipe of the Mifa tribe, Disguise of Uncanny, and the spell is used to protect the tribe warriors and disguise them as foxes. It depends on what you are, as in if you are a human, you can turn into a gorilla, Satia. Something to do with your bloodlines. Interesting.
And this is related to the mimic how?
The mimic's bloodline is connected to mostly everything.
And if you're a Mifa,
so it can transform into whatever it wants to.
If you're a Mifa, you can turn into a dragon.
Everything is, well, you want everything to become dragons, don't you, buddy? Okay. You proceed into the Gouldwick's secret entrance. There is another door in this room, and it is locked on the inside. You can see the bolts and the clicks and the whatnot. And inside this room, there are three tables. And inside this room is two bookshelves and a couple of chairs to sit and rest. There are no lights in this room, so you bring the lantern with you. So many things in this room glow with magical energies. Things on the tables, things on the bookshelves, books themselves glow. Well, this is the vault and all of the prized valuable possessions belonging to the Gouldwick family. There is a great sword that seems to shine with a reddish light. Hanging on the wall, there is a shield, a small round buckler, that seems to glow with magical energy as well. There are many, many magical items in this room, but none of them belong to the Tuffer family, for it is not in this room that the golden shroud sits. But you do see the Gouldwick relic, the Gouldwick family item the golden, I don't think we named it yet, did we? What was the name of the item?
I'll name it.
Sure, birthday boy, you may name it.
The golden book.
It needs to be some sort of jewelry or something.
The golden earring?
I think more important than earring.
Golden necklace.
Chalice. Do you know what a chalice is?
It's a cup. That is perfect. Can I describe it?
Golden chalice. And can you describe it for me?
The chalice is base, extends kind of like a plate, but not like a plate, interestingly. It's the size of a teacup holder, and it spirals up. The gold is molded, crisscrossing and forming into a beautifully designed cup meant to hold your lips and crevice so you can lift it and drink simply.
You're surrounded by wealth and magical items of power and potency, but they do not belong to you. They belong to the Gouldwick family.
Well, we already have this lamp and this clicker and this box that are owned by the Gouldwick family.
And this jar.
And how can we guarantee that all of these are even owned by the Gouldwicks? They could have stolen most of them.
That's a very good point.
We should check
but
them
But just because
out.
Somebody else stole something, does it mean that you should steal it?
I'm not saying that we should steal it, but we should at least check around here to see what they have in here. Just so that we know, like, we don't have to take any of it, just to see what they have in here. I'm curious.
I also wanted to say the chalice is refilling. So you're like, because there's like a thing on the side, you slide down and it just senses your favorite drink in your head and fills it up for
cool.
you.
Cool. That's really good color. Thank you for that.
It's a magical refilling cup.
If you have a disc and it has no thing on it, you have a plain paper disc, it turns into a normal disc. But it doesn't have any writing on it. You think about writing, and then it just appears on the disc.
Okay, cool. A big disc like a plate?
And there's also a disco party thing, and I plug it in.
A disco ball? Yeah. Like a mirror ball that shines? Okay, that's pretty cool. There's a whole bunch of items in here. It's true. There's a whole bunch of really interesting, cool, and unique items.
Let's just look at everything that's glowing first, because the magic stuff is probably going to be a bit more interesting than
yes.
the normal.
Yes. Well, so you look at all the glowing magical items.
There's a glowing disco thing, and I want to try.
Okay, yes, you try that too. Thanks, birthday boy. You look at all the magical items. Rather than, unless you're taking these magical items, I'd rather not just try to figure out explaining and directing them all to you. So.
Hey, DJ. Maybe you should, like, check out that great sword and, you know, just see how it is, because you're the one who knows about that kind of stuff.
There's a great sword?
Yeah,
yes.
Hanging maybe on the wall, there's a magical great sword.
Oh. Maybe test it out and compare it to your other great sword. Let's see if your great sword could do a battle with it. Hey, Flash, you want to help DJ? Oh.
Yep.
It's at this point that Georgington says, we don't have much time. Unless you're taking these items for yourselves, we should take the Gouldwick family item and move on to finding the tougher family golden shroud.
Georgington, maybe you should take the shield.
Why?
Well, like you're the kind of dude that would use such a thing.
This is not treasure that I have gainfully acquired. I would not steal from some other individual.
Then yourself?
Haven't we already taken the clicker and the
I did
lamp?
Not take the clicker.
The yeah.
And I did not take the lamp.
And you took the box.
Or the box or the book.
That was decided because... Look, let's just get going. We take the chalice, someone. We need to
do
get
we return the way we came, or do we leave through the through the door of the secret room?
We need to return the way we came. We need to make it look like we were never here.
Chris yes. seems like he's at war with something. Does he want to take more of the items in this room?
Yes. I am lawfully good, but I am also a thief class, so...
A lawfully good person would not steal untowardly. You might be able to to rationalize that you had to fight that mimic and you took the clicker because it was used against you as you proceeded into the room. But this locked room is the vault of the Gouldwick family and is the mainstay of their wealth and power. In fact, there is a great deal of gold and gems in several pouches and buckets and drawers in the tables in this room.
Well, we might be able to... Well, take a look at anything that you think might help us. Just take a look at it, and if it doesn't, leave it here. Otherwise, it's your choice to take it.
I agree. We can
because it is going to help us, and then we can just, like, leave it near the front of the house.
I agree. We could probably look at them. I just don't think we should take it, because...
Well, even if we do take it, let's just, like, leave it at the front of the house after we're done with it.
The Gouldwicks, if they come in here, they'll be wondering where it went, so I don't suggest taking anything from this room.
Well, we obviously still have to take the crest or our mission's a failure.
Well, we'll take the crest, but I advise that we should not take anything else. The clicker's good. I took the lamp because it is of some magical value, and I want to decipher this book.
But
this book is important that I decipher it.
Guys.
It should not be in wrong hands.
If you wake the DJ thing, it makes a lot of disco stuff. And I'm going to try it outside.
We don't need it, though.
But it fits perfectly in my backpack.
But we don't need it. So if...
Only take something that we would absolutely need to complete this mission, like a key or something, to open a locked room.
The book might hold some certain magical value in the future, so I'm taking the book and the lamp. The lamp is needed to decipher the book, so...
Okay, yes, you're taking the lamp and the book. Fine with that. Is there anything from this room that you're going to steal?
I'm stealing the disco chalice. Thing.
Okay. And you're taking the chalice. I understand you guys are taking the chalice because they stole the golden shroud, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, this book looks interesting.
What book is that?
It's the history on... The Gouldwicks.
That, the Gouldwick family betrayal book? Is that the one you're talking about?
Daddy?
No, that was the, like, Tougher family betrayal book.
Right, oh, there's
this is a book about, like, the history of the Gouldwick family.
Oh, is that book in the vault as well?
Yeah.
And you want to take it? It's not magical. Are you going to take it with you?
Yeah, I'm going to take it with
me. Go ahead.
So I can learn more about them.
So you're going to take the Gouldwick history book. Absolutely. You pocket that. Make sure you put that on your character sheet.
I see a book of Tougher family baby pictures. And I'm going to open it up. And
don't you dare look at that. <I'm> like, don't you dare look at that.
I'm looking at it. Oh.
Come on.
Oh.
And you find a picture of Chris, and he's in a diaper. And he's sitting on a black pony, and he's laughing his face off. And then there's a picture of him in the bath with his foamy lock-picking tools, and he's opening a foamy lock in the bath. And there's a whole bunch of bubbles in the bath, too. And he's there with his sister, and his sister looks really angry. She's like glaring at him.
I think there's a picture of his baby bottom.
Oh, and a picture of his bum, you bet.
And a picture of him.
There's a picture of him on his birthday party, blowing out candles for his third birthday cake.
And there's a picture of him spitting on his birthday cake.
Sure, yeah, because he's not blowing. He can't blow very well. He's spitting on the cake. That's really good color. So you guys have a little chuckle. And looking at the Tougher Fat Baby picture album,
well, and if you go,
do you
back,
take it with you?
And if we go back really far, we could see his mom.
Sure. Do you take the book with you, of course?
Yeah.
Because it seems like maybe it was stolen along with the golden shroud.
Yeah, and so we should probably return this thing, too, because I don't really want, like, my family's enemies having, like, baby pictures of me. That's just weird and creepy.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the question is, How do you leave this room? Do you go through the locked doors, or do you return to the bookshelf into the main room and close the bookshelf behind you?
Main room. There
seems to be a switch that would allow you to close the bookshelf door from here if you would like to.
I want to close it from the room we were in before.
All right, you head back to the room you were in before. Does everybody agree with that?
Yes.
So you return to that room, taking the lantern with you, taking the Tuffer Family Baby Pictures book, taking the Gouldwick Family History book, nothing else from this room other than the golden chalice of the Gouldwick family.
And the golden DJ's thing.
Yes, and the mirror ball. You take all of these things with you.
Wait, what about the portable hole?
You have that tucked away in a pocket, ready to be used at any given time. You return to the master bedroom. You close the bookshelf behind you. You step out. You're alone in the corridor again. And a chime rings off in the distance. Bing, bong, bing, boom.
Quick, get into the vent.
Sounds as though it is the front doorbell ringing.
Everyone, into the vent.
Get into the vent. And it seems as though it is now the dawn of a new day up on the surface world. And this is something important to Flash. This day is the day his mother visits.
Yay!
And while normally his mother can only be seen by him, everyone else sees a spectral figure appear before them. Does everybody know what spectral means?
Yeah, like a...
No.
Spectre means like ghost, right?
Yes, that's right. So like a ghostly figure of a very pretty mom-like figure. She is wearing leather armor and she has a long sword at her hip and she has a magical book in her hand and she appears before all of you and she says, Flash, it is another year gone. Happy birthday, my sweet baby boy. And everyone can see her. What do you say, Flash? Anything?
Nothing.
You say nothing? She says, it has cost a great deal to be here all of these years. And now you are the same age I was when I left you. This is my last visit to you, my son. My baby boy, Flash. I need to know what Flash's middle name is. He has a really silly middle name. What is Flash's middle name? What we'll do is everybody will get to say one of the silly middle names and you get to pick it, okay? So let's let everybody else make the statements. So what do we have for a silly middle name? Alex.
Doublegong.
Ooh, I like that. And what do we have for a silly name, Robin?
Frode Draken.
That is long and hard to remember. And what do we have for a silly name, Savannah?
Swizzle.
And you had one as well?
Fla.
Flash Fla?
Flash Flag on the Dragon.
Flash Flaglodragon. I can't even say it. Flash Flagold Dragon.
Flash Flagold Dragon.
What she actually says is, she says, Flash...
Doublegong.
Nosebleed.
No, the name you said before.
I wanna say nosebleed.
The name you said before.
Aww. I don't remember.
That's why you don't come up with crazy weird names.
Fredericton.
Fredrickson?
Fredericton.
Fredericton. Fredericton.
Flizzle.
Fluggle Dragon.
Fluggle Dragon.
I leave this book to you. It is a spectral book. She passes a book to you. It is your birthday gift. And within this spectral book, you can write your heart's desire, and it will be made true for you on this special day of your birth. And what do you write in the book?
I wish my mom was alive right now.
My heart just broke a little bit, buddy. She fades away from view. The book also fades from view.
Why?
After you write that sentence, And that is the end of today's game session.
Yay!
Good. You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 1 month with another episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. You can find the Okie Dokie Brothers on iTunes at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes, and you can also find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. Thanks for listening.
Come wandering my way. If you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word.